Welcome to Listen to Older Voices, a program produced for Uniting Melbourne and broadcast through the Community Radio Network. It's always a pleasure to bring you, through their stories, the life and times of older people in our community. All very interesting, all very different, and all very entertaining. Hello, I'm Rob Greaves, and they say all good things must come to an end. And so it is after 1,300 programs and 25 years of Listen to Older Voices, I come to the final chapter of this wonderful program. This is the fourth and final part of my story, and in it, I try to bring my story up to date. It's good to reflect on the changes we go through in life and the changes we witness. And I do this while reflecting on how I went to La Trobe University as a mature age student, first to gain a Bachelor of Education and then a Master's in Education. I share with you how I've moved well and truly into the older generation, and with the ending of Listen to Older Voices, I'll move into full-time retirement, but it doesn't mean I'll be slowing down. I share with you my passion for German Shorthaired Pointers, or GSPs, and how this passion has assisted in setting up a national Facebook group for people with pointers, which now has over 9,000 members. I also reflect on my growing concern for the anti-science movement that's fallen upon us and exemplified by the anti-vax movement, and of my despair of any real action by Australia on climate change. Yet, I also finish on a more positive note with my music. We pick up with me reflecting on my return to Melbourne after being unfairly and incorrectly accused of stealing from my employer in Coffs Harbour, and how that return to Melbourne opened up an amazing career door. In this, the final part of my story, I look back and I realise just how much I've missed. But as I used to tell people that I'd interview, it's impossible to get somebody's life story in what is basically 100 minutes, sometimes less. But what you do is you get a snapshot of the things that seem to be important at the time when you're telling the story. So I'm going to jump back a little bit here and talk about June and I coming back from Queensland in, what was it, 1988, when things fell apart in my work in Coffs Harbour. You'll remember that I was accused of stealing the money belonging to the youth centre when in fact it was the treasurer. But I came to Melbourne and got the job in tutor. June had to pack up the house with two young children and a dog. At that stage, my darling Astrid had passed away and we'd got a GSP called Chockey, and she packed everything up and lock, stock and barrel came down to Melbourne. We rented a couple of houses for 2 years before finding the house that we really loved in Belgrave in 1990. And here we are in 2022 and we're still in the same house and absolutely loving it. Belgrave is a wonderful place. It's changed very little in the time that we've been here. Certainly the traffic flow's got heavier, but very few houses actually change hands in Belgrave. There's not a lot of real estate, and it's relatively undiscovered. I mean, you can get a train from Belgrave into the city in under an hour. You can drive these days with the freeways and everything, certainly in under an hour. It's so close, and yet it retains all its charm and character of almost a semi-rural area. So with plenty of trees and plenty of bird life and critters and things around us, we've carved out quite a lovely niche and made a lot of friends up here. And although my music playing days are well past me now, both because of, I guess, my age and the style of music I was best at playing, but also, unfortunately, arthritis has started to attack me in the fingers, and that's one of the delights of getting older. However, I found that getting older also brings some interesting changes in your life. Once upon a time, I wouldn't have taken up gardening. I wouldn't have entered into the consideration of gardening for anything. Over the last few years, I've discovered the joys in gardening. And in fact, I think I've lost count, it's 8 vegetable gardens going at the moment. And each one of them is both a challenge in terms of the local wildlife and insects and things, but there's great pleasure in picking my own tomatoes, getting my own lettuce out of the ground, spring onions, silver beet, you name it, and we've either grown it or at least tried to grow it. At the same time, we've made some great friends up here. I'm fortunate enough to have next door neighbours who have become not just good friends, but really good friends. That's Chris and Glyn, and Glyn is still a working musician with his partner Sam C. So the musical connection continues, and June and I get to go to a lot of wonderful live gigs, along with having a lot of wonderful friends. So life has done anything but stop. And with Listen to Older Voices coming to an end, with this program finishing, I guess I go into full-time retirement now. But retirement doesn't mean stopping. Absolutely doesn't. There's still a lot to do, apart from a wonderfully active social life. I'm also working as the senior editor for the online paper, the Toorak Times. That's a job which is very challenging, to say the least, and constantly demands time. As I mentioned, I've got the garden that I'm enjoying very much. And in June of last year, we had an enormous, something like a 40-metre cedar tree fall across the front of our property. It covered the entire property, clipping the side of the house. And we went for some, I think it was about 10 weeks without power because it dragged the power cables through the house. And so the whole house had to be rewired, and a massive, massive cleanup job. And there was plastering inside. There was electrical work, you name it. It took from June till October to get resolved and finished. That basically destroyed the whole front of our property, all our trees and things. So since then, June and I have worked very hard in planting out an orchard. We've got about 9 or 10 species of fruit trees, and although it took a long time, it's looking quite magnificent now. I have thought about returning to study, but there's a bit of a story there in itself. When we left the disaster that was Coffs Harbour and came back to Melbourne, and I got work with the Trade Union Training Authority, after I'd been there a few years, I applied to La Trobe University as a Mature student and got an interview. They asked me to bring in some work, so I brought in a manual that I had developed when I was working at the Community Welfare Training Institute, and its title was Drugs and Program Development. Well, I presented really well, and they went through that manual, and I think I was basically hired on the spot. I got a place in the Bachelor of Education, which was good, but I have to be honest, and I just felt when I finished and passed it, it just really hadn't pushed me hard enough. So with the support of one of my supervisors, I applied for a master's degree in education and was accepted and undertook that. And that was successful. I passed that. And there were moments when it was challenging. And I don't want to sound egotistical, but I really wanted to be pushed even harder still. That same supervisor plus one other then wrote her reference at the end of my master's, indicating that I should apply for a doctorate and that they would support that. However, at the same time, I'd moved from the Trade Union Training Authority into the Australian Council of Trade Unions because TUTE had been closed down. And the ACTU had decided it was time to actually devolve centralised training back into the unions. And I was appointed as the National Training Manager, with the focus of my work was to assist the unions into taking up the training, to look at how we could devolve the funding to assist them in that and to set up their programs. And I guess I was very successful, so successful that my position was made redundant. And in itself, I have to say, I got a wonderful redundancy, but it suddenly made me realise that without an organisation like the ACTU to support me financially to do a doctorate, there was absolutely no way I could afford it. And so I had to put that on hold. And of course, as the years have gone on, the costs of doing a course like a doctorate haven't got less. They've got so expensive now that it's just well out of reach. So when I look back and think about now, you know, returning to study, I think the only thing I'd like to do is to do a doctorate, and I can't afford to do that. So I'm looking to find other things. So I've looked elsewhere, and one of the things that seemed to be obvious to me was my love of German Shorthair Pointers that I've had in my life for an unbroken 49 years. That's a lot of years and a lot of German Shorthair Pointers, of which most of them have been purebred, although two of them were crossbreeds, including Astrid, my dog that I've spoken about several times. Anyway, I helped set up a group called GSP Lovers. That came to an ignominious end when I had a disagreement with the other administrator. And I was invited into a very small group called GSP Australia, which had less than 500 members. So the admin and I worked very hard and brought in other admins, and
over a 9-year period,
that group has grown to have over 9,000 members, all of whom have pointers, either German shorthair pointers, English pointers, or German whitehair pointers. And if we take the population of Australia into consideration per rata, we're actually the largest German shorthair pointer group on Facebook. So that brings a lot of challenges in organising, moderating, helping people set up subgroups all over Australia. And it allows me to follow that passion for German shorthair pointers. And at the same time, through Facebook, meet a lot of other wonderful people.
And you've tuned into Listen to Older Voices. Turning Back Time. Turning Back Time.
I'm Rob Greaves, and I've been your host with Listen to Older Voices for the past 18 years. And now I'd like to thank you for letting me share a little of my story with you.
In terms of my observations of what things that are going on around me, which is a question I used to ask my own guests, yeah, there's no doubt about it. There's a number of things which really concern me greatly. Unfortunately, I don't have grandchildren, although that's actually not true. I do have a step-grandson in the United States. But that makes life for a grandfather very difficult because I never get to see him. I do get concerned for the future generations, the way the majority of the politicians are treating climate change so dismissively. Hopefully, by the time this goes to air, we will have had a change of government. And I make no bones in saying that. I think the current government has been very remiss in its job of protecting us from climate change. Yeah, protecting jobs is all well and fine, but there's no point in protecting jobs if there aren't any jobs, because climate change has just made life unbearable. And we've only got to witness what's happened with the bushfires recently and now the ongoing floods in New South Wales and Queensland. Yeah, I hear people saying we've always had floods, we've always had bushfires, but never the frequency, the kind of intensity of them and the frequency of them is just... You know, the warnings are there and it's happening all around the world. It's not just Australia. And yet people still stick their heads in the sand and go, jobs are more important. It'll all get better anyway. And it won't get better unless we actively intervene. There's just no doubt in my mind whatsoever. And having that science background, going all the way back to being an industrial chemist, I consider myself as a very grounded person. I don't place total faith in anything without some research and without recognising limitations. But as far as things go, grounded science is the best thing we have got going for us in terms of understanding not only what the issues are, but how to deal with them. And I mean, the pandemic that we've been through in the last couple of years is a classic example of that. I just find it totally incomprehensible how we can have anti-vaxxers making all sorts of weird and not so wonderful claims about how vaccination is so dangerous. And I think back to my time as a child, and I recall as an asthmatic being taken through Austin Hospital and looking in a ward that had polio patients and just rows of what I now know, more iron lungs, I didn't understand it then, with all these kids in there. And I think back to polio, I think back to chicken pox, I think back to the days of awful diseases and how we have either gotten on top, if not got rid of some of them, simply through vaccination. And we just took vaccination back in the 50s and 60s as the norm. And sadly, there are many people today that don't consider it as the norm, and would see us go back into the dark ages of, you know, crystals and, herbs and things like this, which simply have their place in our life, but not when it comes to diseases. And I just shake my head at what I see as the modern dark ages when it comes to the denial of science by some people. So, yes, all of that is of great concern to me. I look around me at the general environment and just wonder what legacy we're leaving, not so much our kids, but our grandchildren, our great-grandchildren. There won't be any time in another 50 years or plus to go, oh, well, we've still got time. We don't have time in 50 years' time. I was reading an article today when basically if we don't tackle the issues of climate change, 12 years is all we've got left before it's too late to try and change. See, we'll be over the tipping point. So, yep, that is of great concern to me. I also look around me at society in general, and I think back at the early years of my life. And I know you can't live in the past, and I know it's impossible to even try to recreate the past, if that was even desirable. But we certainly live in a far more violent world, both locally, nationally, and internationally. And the things that we took for granted in terms of our safety, and you can't do that today. And I was interviewing people some, 10, 15 years ago, older people, and some of them would say things like, oh, look, I'm actually not so much looking forward to passing away, but when the time comes, I'm going to be quite happy with it. And I would say, well, why, what puts you in that state of mind? And they say, because this is no longer my world. And I couldn't understand it then, but I do now. The pace of change is fast. The pace of change is huge. And you can't stop change, and you can't stop development, and you can't stop things from evolving, and probably nor should you. But it has accelerated so much now, it's kind of like, hang on, and if you're lucky, go for the ride and enjoy it. And if you're not so lucky, you'll probably fall off and hurt yourself. I'm not one that's ever not tried to keep pace with the change of technology. I'm one that's embraced social changes. And I know I'm not the only one in that category. But the time comes when you just really get tired, and you do get exhausted with about change. And you almost pine for a time when you can just sit back and enjoy life. But life doesn't let you do that anymore. Yeah, you've got to fight for your rights, and you've got to fight to maintain those rights. And that's a fight that probably will never end. I get still great pleasure out of composing and playing music. For the most of my musical career, I had my partner David and then others. I have enjoyed now the challenge being a sole musician and composer brings to itself, because one of the great things about playing music is you just play with and off other people, and that sort of generates an energy, and it generates a desire to keep going, even when you see a bit of a floundering, your partners or your other musical people will keep it going. I call back those days of Early Rainbow Generator with David and I, where the music was not structured so much in terms of, verse, chorus, verse, but rather the music just evolved as David and I played. We played with each other, across each other, and through each other. And that way it becomes very engaging, because it's a freedom of expression, and you are able to dig deep inside yourself for your experiences, your emotions, and everything else. And it takes on a whole life of its own. Harder to do when you're on your own, yet I'm pretty pleased with what I've achieved. I've got 4 CDs out. 2 of them are electronic-based music, and 2 of them are far more symphonic, if not classical-based. I spent quite a bit of time reading up on all the great composers, not in order to emulate them, but to try and understand their lives and what drove them. And so it drove me into investigating the structure of classical music. And yes, I've had to delve into using, not so much electronics, but more the digital side of it, because I'm hardly going to have access to a symphony orchestra. These days, with digital instrumentation, you can recreate an orchestra in your own basic little studio. And so that's encouraged me. It's encouraged me to move away from more conventional sort of music into a style of music which I probably have not delved into in the past deeply enough. And I've had a great satisfaction out of it. But there are no regrets. In fact, I have very few regrets about my life as I look back on it. I think I've made a contribution to my community over the years. I've certainly taken, but I've most certainly given as well. In fact, I've learnt a lot and hopefully taught some as well. It's been an interesting experience, one that's not over by any means. And so as I move into this final phase of my life, and all things being equal, I'm hoping to get at least another 20 years on this planet. I'll continue to open myself up to new experiences and new ideas. I'll try not to become that part of my father, which I didn't like. That was the one that couldn't cope with change, although, as I said earlier in the show, the pace of change now is a difficult one to keep up with. But it's good being surrounded by my friends and my family and to undertake a journey, not on my own, but in company with those people that mean so much to me. Certainly when that time comes and I close my eyes for the last time, I'll be very confident and very comfortable in saying that it's been a good life. And so it is, as I've had to say to so many of my guests, time is almost up. And I'd like to finish off by thanking all those community radio stations that have taken this program over the 25 years that it's been running. That's a commitment from you and a commitment that I'm sure has been appreciated by those that listen to your station. I've got to thank, of course, the Community Broadcasting Association of Australia for their technical assistance, and also the Toorak Times, Mick Pacioli, the publisher, for encouraging me in the very early years to put Listen to Wilder Voices up as a podcast, and in doing so has exposed the people that I've interviewed to not just tens of thousands, but probably hundreds of thousands of people that they may never have reached under any other circumstances. To the literally hundreds of guests that have appeared on the program, both with me and my predecessors, thank you. For myself, I've really enjoyed the 18 years. As I've said to a few people, it wasn't just that I got invited into people's homes, I got invited into their lives. People shared things that they normally would may have not shared under any other circumstances. And it's something I took very responsibly and something I'm very grateful for. Because when you speak to other people, it doesn't just bring out the best in them, it helps bring out the best in you, because you also reflect on your relationship with them and with other people. And of course, the really important aspect of promoting positive aging. It is sad that Listen to Older Voices is coming to an end, but all good things come to an end. And so it is that I say to you, the listener, thank you very much for being with me on this journey, and who knows what the future may hold. And I'd like to finish up with a piece of music that I helped contribute to way back in 1977, which has been reworked more recently. That track was called Essence. Bye for now. Thank you.
This was the last program in the Listen to Older Voices series of life and time stories of older Australians, and was brought to you by Uniting Victoria Tasmania, and it has been podcast through the Toorak Times. Thank you for listening.